Congratulations on being elected as the top Republican spot on the House Ag Committee. I wondered if you could speak to what you're most looking forward to for the next 2 years in this role.
Well, I'm really humbled that my colleagues have put their faith in me to be the Republican leader of the House Agriculture Committee. I've served on that the committee for, this is my, just completing my 12th year. I've worked on two farm bills. I've chaired three different subcommittees, and I served as a full vice chair for the committee. It was very humbling to be able to, to be elected by my colleagues to step into the Republican leader position. Looking forward to continuing my work. The challenges, I think we've done some really good things for our farmers and ranchers over the years, certainly the past two farm bills that I've worked on, but the challenge ahead of us are considerable. And my vision really is to rebuild a robust rural economy, and that means making sure that there are farmers and ranchers have all the tools that they need in terms of risk management, crop insurance, for our dairy farmers, the dairy margin coverage, which appears to be working really well. It's unfortunate that it's needed, but it is at this point in time. Continue to have those kinds of tools, working to expand our market opportunities. And that's both domestically and through innovation, and that's under the Agriculture Committee we support research, which includes a lot of innovation, but also working in tandem with other committees and administration to continue to expand and reinforce our foreign markets, like we did with the new USMCA and quite frankly, the China trade deal.
Have you had a chance to meet with Mr. Scott to talk about things yet?
Absolutely. I've had the privilege of serving with Congressman Scott for 12 years. He is a gentleman, statesman. Both congratulated him, had the opportunity to see him after the word was that he had received the Democratic leadership nod to be the Democratic leader and in the 117th Congress serve as chairman of the committee. And then I talked with him last week, probably within a half hour of when I was able to earn my election as Republican leader. So looking forward to looking forward to working with him and our leadership of the Agriculture Committee.
So you both are senior members of the Ag Committee. How long have you been on the committee officially?
For mine, it's been 12 years. I'll be starting the 117th Congress. Will be my 13th year as a member of Congress and as a member of the House Agriculture Committee.
Let's take a look. You talked about some of the farm bill issues a bit in 2021, and we know 2023 is a farm bill year. What's the likelihood of some of these farm bill conversations starting, maybe just kind of beginning in the new year? Have you all talked much about maybe what business would be, or has it all kind of been other focuses at this time?
Well, we haven't gone as far as to talk policy going into January in the 117th Congress, but I can tell you from my perspective, we are overdue on initiating discussions preparing for the next farm bill. I know that 2023 is the targeted year for it. But we're a little bit behind in terms. I think a big part of that was obviously this COVID. We need to basically be hearing from USDA in terms of the progress or that has been made with the provisions of the 2018 Farm Bill. What's working? What's not working? What is perhaps no longer effective? We need to do that in light, I believe, of making sure that we build resiliency within the agriculture and food supply chain. Given the experiences that we've all kind of lived with this COVID-19, we need to make sure that we have strong resiliency in all aspects of that of the food supply chain, and so we need to learn the what lessons are out there that from 2020. I think that's something we certainly need to keep in mind as we go forward. But there's a lot more work beyond that as well, as we look at all, as you know, the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee is really huge. It's and it's significant. It is about food security. It's about rural economic, the rural economy. It touches on rural healthcare, touches on rural education. It's connectivity, which obviously is one of my goals as a part of my vision. I don't think we're not going to be successful at restoring a robust rural economy that without really taking measures and measured steps to be able to complete that last mile connectivity. There's just a lot of, like I said, a lot of work to be done.
Earlier on in this conversation, you mentioned the dairy margin coverage program. We know there's a lot of dairy farms in Pennsylvania. I think a lot in your area too, right? And there are a lot of dairy farms in our area that we cover here for the Red River Farm Network. And I wondered if you could speak to, if you're familiar with maybe some of the pros and cons of the DMC program, and maybe where things are right now, and maybe how that can be improved moving forward.
Well, I think the dairy margin coverage was really tried and tested under fire with the COVID-19, the disruption of, again, of the food supply chain, where, prior to this COVID, almost 60% of all meals were eaten in restaurants versus at dining room tables. And, that dramatic shift really had an impact on all of our commodity groups, our farmers, our ranchers, and it did on dairy. And I think that the dairy margin coverage actually, for those who had the foresight and the interest of signing up for it, I think they the feedback I've gotten, and I've done a lot of listening sessions on my own, virtual, obviously, over this past year, and getting great feedback. And an important thing as a part of our discussion here is just to remind our dairy farmers, they have just a few days left. I think the deadline, I believe, is December 11th for signing up for the next round of the dairy margin coverage. And I certainly strongly encourage dairy farmers to give that serious consideration and sign up. The feedback is that, especially during these very challenging times of 2020, it was very welcome, the assistance that provided. I think that's, Kara, your question, part of the answer to that is that we need to do roundtables. We need to do listening sessions. We have to have hearings in order to hear from those farmers and producers and the processors that were impacted, all the folks within that food supply chain. That's a great example of what worked in the farm bill for them in 2020 and what did not. And it's based on that feedback is the adjustments to be made. That needs to be driven by the real life experiences of our farmers and ranchers.
You mentioned COVID having such a large impact on the ag industry. And I think currently in this session, not the new one, not 2021, but the 2020 lame duck that we're in now, I think that there's some additional assistance being considered, we hear. Is there anything included for ag in that assistance? Do you know?
Yes, there is. There are some additional assistance for agriculture, both for the production side and also the nutrition side, for our families in need, families who have found themselves temporarily in this situation, driven by their loss of employment, to be able to resources to be able to meet their families' financial needs. Nutritional needs. One of the things that I'm proud of the Agriculture Committee, the product that we did with the nutrition title, and in the 2018 Farm Bill, that I had two roles. One was chair of the Nutrition Subcommittee, but also vice chair of the full agriculture committee. And the groundwork that we laid out in within the nutrition title really is what was to be able to be utilized by USDA, you know, to support our families who found themselves by no fault of their own in financial distress. It might be because of some dictate of a governor or obviously a disruption of food supply chain for some of our folks working in the agriculture industry. That's a big industry is in Pennsylvania. You know, one out of every seven jobs is directly or indirectly related to agriculture, with dairy being our largest commodity. And so, the basis for the farm to family food boxes that, tens of millions of those that were distributed around the country. You know, the basis for that, the authorizing basis for that really came out of the nutrition title of the last farm bill. And it was a win-win because it really helped our farmers to find a new market so that they didn't have commodities that were left to rot in the field or they didn't, you know, there was a place to be able, if you had livestock, to be able to get that, have that processed and be able to have that purchase for distribution and dairy, a significant amount of milk that was purchased that would have unfortunately wound up being dumped someplace. And in the end, it went to help feed hungry families that were in some type of immediate financial distress as a result of this.
I'm kind of looking big picture here at the House Ag Committee itself, circling back to this and the announcement that came last week for you and Mr. Scott to lead. I wonder what happens next for you all. What are the next steps in this process for you?
Well, I think twofold, obviously. We have both been confirmed by our respective caucuses, and so moving forward is kind of twofold. One is we will be probably sometime in January, hopefully, populating the Agriculture Committee. And so I'm, from a Republican perspective, I can tell you that we have a tremendous talent pool of fresh, newly elected Republican members of Congress who have a very strong background and a strong interest in agriculture, which is very exciting. It was shared with me by the Republican or the freshman representative on our steering committee, August Pfluger from Texas, that of the committee requests that this freshman class has put forward, the number one request out of that whole group has been agriculture. And to me, that's very exciting. And then obviously, then you have to build also a talent pool when it comes to staffing. And so I'm looking forward to that process. I believe that you hire right. Now, part of it will be, we've got to wait and see what Mr. Scott determines the subcommittees will be in the subcommittee jurisdictions, so that we can make sure that we plug talent in. But we've, among the existing agriculture Republican staff, some very talented people that are there. Plus, it looks like we're going to have a whole host of Republican USDA staffers that I know are outstanding individuals. So there's not going to be, there'll be no lack of talent to pick from in terms of staffing up the committee. But those are probably two of the most immediate tasks that I have at hand at this point.
Is there anything else farmers in the Northern Plains need to know about you before I let you go?
Well, just that I'm looking forward to being a leader within the Agriculture Committee that represents all of agriculture. I've spent time with sweet beet farm families they're in the Red River area, as well as sugarcane growers in Florida, dairy farmers from California, cotton farmers in Tennessee. I mean, my focus really is on all of agriculture and all of rural America. And so looking forward to, and I think it takes a farm team to be effective. It takes a farm team when you're working a farm or a ranch, but the Agriculture Committee is the same way. And it starts with having good talent and working hard and putting in the hours that it takes. And so that's my commitment. That's what I look forward to doing.